Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, what up, what up, what's going on? It's Frequency, producer extraordinaire. You're checking out the mixtape with my man Six Sense and Mick Boogie. Let's go for it.
Yeah.
It's your boy Six Sense, let's go.
Yeah, you know what it is. From the moment you come over the bridge, and I'ma show you some shit. 8 million roaming the strip, and I hope you ain't alone in the crib.
All right. I love when we just like close it out like that. The music, and then it's us. Welcome, everybody. This is a new episode of New York HR. And today I have a, like I like to call, a boomerang. And it's someone that was on the show, and they loved me so much that they had to come back. My friend, my good friend, and my fellow BSer, or caller BSer on her, or whatever you want to call it, LaToya Lynn is here. LaToya, how are you?
I'm doing so good. I'm so happy to be back. I mean, this is probably the longest boomerang ever, but I'm so happy I came right back full circle to you.
Yeah, well, listen, you're one of my favorite guests on this show. You know how to call BS on things. You know, listen, you're a New Yorker, right? That's
right,
what
that's
we do.
The other day when we were texting, I was talking about a stoop or whatever, right? I'm from Queens. That's how we do things, you know? We just talk.
That's right. I love it. By the way, for all the people that are listening outside of the New York area, a stoop is the front steps of your house, and it literally is a place where you hang out constantly in New York. In one breath, it's a seat. In the next, you do you have some stoop ball, so you have a blue ball that you hit against it,
yep.
And you play the virtual baseball game. It has many
yep.
functions, the stoop. So
yep.
Yeah, I love it. I love the stoop reference. Well, we're not here to call. We're not here to talk about stoops, although we could do a whole show on them. Today I'm not going to say it. All the marketing people are saying it. It's unprecedented times. It's uncertain times. Yes, 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 yes.
Yep.
We are in the weirdest freaking time ever to be in human resources. And
yeah.
Today we're just seeing a trend here, folks. Listen, we love our fellow HR people. We do. We love all you. You're super smart people, probably smarter than me and probably smarter than I'll ever be. But terminating people during this time in a way that is just unprofessional, it's not right. Layoffs, listen, we can't control what's happening. It's, you know, someone had talked about it being the Thanos, you know, if you're a Marvel fan, the Thanos snap of startups and companies where like industries are disappearing. I get it. It's hard.
Yeah.
But we really like, I'll tell you an example. So we're calling BS on how people are getting terminated these days. My own story, I have a friend of mine who was called on a Sunday, and the head of HR left a voicemail terminating that person on a Sunday, on a weekend, in a voicemail. And it just was like, and you know, I was a head of HR, and you still did it that way. It personally insulted me. So I think we need to think about these things. LaToya, what are your thoughts? Like, what are you seeing about how companies are terminating people? How are they treating people? Talk to me a little bit about why you wanted to call BS on this.
Yeah, so I really wanted to call BS on it just to kind of really shed some light and also just kind of give some insight on the best way to really handle this moving forward and also how to deal with it, you know, in the process. So the biggest thing for me here is, you know, as we all know, like this is, again, unprecedented time. We don't need to go through that. Just turn on the news and you'll see it every single place. You know, companies are really scrambling, trying to keep their businesses afloat. They're trying to keep payroll, all the things that you can think of. And, you know, with this economical downturn, this halt that we're having, and also people are losing their lives on a regular basis, you know, companies are not as prepared as they need to be to really be handling these type of situations. So what they're doing is, instead of really, you know, spending some time really thinking about what is the best process to kind of go around this in a very short time, they're just doing these almost, I want to say, knee-jerk, desperate responses on how to try to deal with headcount with human beings that have families to feed and healthcare, you know, dependent on all of this during a health pandemic. So,
right.
You know, I mean, it's really difficult to really understand that. And I really want to make sure that, you know, HR practitioners and also business leaders are really thinking about the human aspect, you know, overall, because guess what? Your brand and your reputation is at hand. And when this whole thing turns around and the economy booms again, which will happen, you will have that, you know, as you know, how you treat your people. So it's something really that I pull very passionately about and really think very deeply on, but like, this is something I just really want to just talk about, like let out.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And listen, I, you know, as much as we can be prepared for these kind of situations, we have been having layoff conversations in the past. We've asked people to leave organizations in the past. And I've always said, personally, I want to be part of an organization that welcomes people and says goodbye to people in the same way, right? It's with the caring, the empathy, making sure that they're hugged. And in the same way, almost, you know, quite the opposite on the other side. You know, if someone's leaving the organization, you almost want to take greater care as much as you can. But you talked about being prepared. So how can companies, well, how can they do it differently? Like, obviously, my example is such the extreme, right? Like, that is the perfect example. Please do not terminate someone on a weekend and via voicemail. I'm going to just state it right there. I'm going to tell you that's BS.
I'm going to go a little further than that. I'm going to say a weekend and also not on a Friday.
Right, right. So how can companies think about these things better?
So, you know, many of us seasoned HR professionals, and you hinted it a little bit there, Anthony, we have had lots of experience doing workforce planning. Like most of us have done it. If you are at a director level or above, you've had some experience of doing workforce planning. You know exactly what it means to do that. You know exactly the amount of work and what it takes to actually do that. And the real work that matters the most is the communication plan for the employee. Right? I mean, come on, Anthony, you're an HR professional. You've seen this. You know what this looks like, right? There's a very specific talk track to make sure employees have all the information that they need at a very reasonable time and how to really exit them with grace to make sure they have enough money and a package to take care of them. So that's one thing. It's really honing in on that process. Now, a lot of these HR departments don't have a lot of HR leaders or people to be a part of the conversation. So traditionally how this goes is you have a conversation with your manager, and you have your HR representative with you or your union representative if you're in a union type workforce sitting in the room with you. But in this pandemic, we don't really have the luxury of having every single HR person and every single union rep, you know, in a 300 to 400 person layoff, which I completely understand the logic around that. However, right. What you can do, HR managers, is that you can train the managers on a call directly on how what they need to do and how they need to have these conversations. They should be required at minimum to book between a 15 to 30 minute conversation with you. Then they read off of a very specific script that is vetted by legal, by the executive team, and by HR. And you walk them through their package. Just as much as you will walk them through an offer letter, you will walk them through their package. And if there are any type of like flame-ups or people are going nuts, which will happen because people are in a very emotional state, what you do is you take that person's information, you put them in a specific list, and then on that list, that's when the HR people can go to them, that pool of people, and then they can go ahead and reach out to them to deal with the extreme cases to make sure they have all the information that they need. And that's the best way to do it, especially with these mass layoffs. Really put it on the managers to really do it because they're the ones who are responsible for those employees day to day.
Yeah, and I love that. I love being able now, you know, the two thoughts that come to mind is one, what are your thoughts about script? So you talked about scripting this, right? Which to me, if you script it too much, it feels very inauthentic, right? You're not, bringing in that sort of empathy into the situation. But your point is make sure you're vetting it with legal so you're not saying the wrong thing, right? But still make it your voice.
Right. So you want to make sure that people are getting the same message. I want to be kind of clear. Thank you for bringing that up. Right. You always want to put your heart into it, obviously. And this is the relationship that you have with your employee, hopefully, as a manager, to be able to have this conversation. But the reason why you want to have some sort of talk track is that you want everybody to have the same message. That's number one. And want to make sure everyone knows what's going on all throughout the entire organization. You also don't want to, you also want to make sure people care about, and I've done these unfortunately way too many times in my career, where when you tell someone, hey, today is your last day, all they care about is what next. What do I get? What's my last paycheck? What do I do with my vacation days, my benefits, my 401k? That information has to be really tightly scripted for managers to be able to speak to very clearly. And those are all facts. So, you know, as far as the way you deliver it, there's a training around empathy and you really coach the managers to be able to do that. But the facts are the facts. This is what your package looks like. This is how long you have. This is what your vacation balance is. And it's also, this is how much your severance package is going to look like. Those are all really important things for people to know how they're going to take care of themselves after they lose their job.
And I love that, because I think what you're absolutely right. It has to be consistent across the board, but adding a voice on top of that, that is a little bit more empathetic, is absolutely critical. How do you think, like, I'm a new leader. I've been asked by my HR VP Latoya Lynn to have this conversation. I'm freaking out. My heart is pounding. I've never done this before. Do you have a couple of thoughts or key things for that manager to really think about to drive more of an empathetic conversation with this employee that's being affected?
Yeah. I mean, start with respect. You know, you want to fully respect this person's life and what you're saying to them. And you really want to treat them as if, you know, they're a part of your workforce, they're a part of your team. So you always want to come from that space. Okay. The second thing is, you know, if you're nervous, really think about, like, what are you nervous about other than having the conversation to make sure that people get what they need? Because this is something that is coming down from the business. Once again, we are in a pandemic. There are critical things that need to happen. And, you know, really think about to yourself, like, what is it that I'm nervous about if I give this person, if I treat them with respect in the conversation? And also, if I'm really taking down all the details of the package and their information that they need to be able to go ahead and take care of themselves, if that's super crystal clear, then that should be okay. And the last thing is like, don't take it personally, because it's not personal. No one wants to fire anybody. And if you feel uncomfortable, that is the right thing to feel. No one is cold-hearted to kind of just tell a bunch of people they don't have any jobs. If you do, then I don't, that's not the kind of conversation. But, you know, everyone should feel a sense of nerve or a sense of discomfort, because it's a very difficult conversation. But if you lead it with respect and if you lead it with dignity, then you should be absolutely fine.
I love that, especially, you know, what I tell new managers. I said, if any point, you know, this termination discussion becomes easy for you, you're in the wrong job. You know, like, it shouldn't, it's always going to be, I've been doing this for 20 plus years and every conversation is just awful. It's just a terrible experience to go through. How can HR people, how can companies think about, or how can they show they care more during the scenario? Because you're in a pandemic. There are quick decisions being made. You're doing it over Zoom. If you're a really shitty company, you're doing it via voicemail on a Sunday, but that's for another day. How can companies really show they care other than some of the basic stuff? Or maybe that's what we should be thinking about, just the basics.
Ways to show that you care is that a lot of times companies don't realize the benefits they have within their organization. And if you speak with your benefit administrator or someone that handles all of that, like any of your healthcare practices, the employee assistance program has a lot of tools for people that are actually leaving their jobs. There's a lot of companies, one company in particular, I'm going to shout out them because they're amazing, Rise Smart. They help with people 90-day turnaround as far as like counseling, coaching, and kind of getting them back into the spirit of working over a 90-day period. And they really help them out. So putting in place the best type of, you know, in a worst case scenario, really showing that I care, a company that I worked for, you know, many years ago, what they did was they gave them their package information. And then they gave them access to this platform called Rise Smart, and there's plenty of platforms like that. And they had a counselor straight away. And then they also gave them access to a direct line to someone who wants to go through any type of therapy or career counseling or coaching, kind of deeper than that, using their benefits. And usually that's for free. That's already baked into your benefits plan. So those are ways to really show that they care, because it's really like, it's not a one and done type conversation where you kind of I have the conversation with you and then it's over. It's like, okay, I have the conversation. It's over right now, but here are the next things that we're going to do to support you through the process. That's not only monetarily.
So one of the things, and I like the idea of the counseling. I think that's a really good idea. And you're not necessarily talking about like resume counseling. You're talking about maybe just general, like get your shit together kind of counseling.
Yeah, because, you know, you go through seven. I mean, think about like when people lose their job, it's almost like losing a loved one or death. And people go through the seven stages. And they need someone to kind of help them through that process. And there's plenty of people out there, you know, within your own community or within your own healthcare plans that can do that in your employee assistance programs.
Yeah, and that's a great, you know, I think they're the most underutilized benefit that a company offers is the employee assistance plan. You know, like no one even knows it's there. And I think you're absolutely right. And then there are third party solutions that are out there, provide coaching and other things that you can look into. I think you provided one. One of the recommendations I was reading online, I think it was somebody's LinkedIn. I'd love to give them props, but I don't have their name. But they talked about, you know, the idea of referrals or recommendation letters. And historically, HR has been like, don't do it, right? Like here, just give dates and titles. And you know, depending on where you are, if you provide salary, don't provide salary. What are your thoughts on recommendation? And that was an okay boomer performance for me in terms of talking about recommendation letters, but maybe LinkedIn recommendation. What are your thoughts about companies doing that post-termination? Do you think that's a good idea?
So I think it depends on your policy. Usually companies have a very strict policy on recommendations. I think in a time like this, yes, I think recommendations are important. I have very mixed feelings about it, and I'll tell you why. Because recommendations could either recommendations usually say like, I want to make sure that I'm in good faith with my former employer, right? And you want to make sure that, you know, that they're going to speak very well to your performance, whatever the case may be, and that's really important. And it gets a little hairy if you kind of say, I'll also give you a recommendation letter as a part of the process of a company, as opposed to if I'm your individual manager and I really just know you and I care about you, I'm going to willing to put my name out there like that. It's a completely different story. So I would recommend that if people want to personally want to go ahead and do that and recommend people, you know, for another job, if they have that connection, they should do so. But if as a company-wide thing, for a mass layoff, I wouldn't recommend that.
Yeah, that's a great point. So what you're suggesting is not as a standard practice, but if a manager thought someone was a great employee, having them, you know, if they ask HR, should I provide a recommendation? Your answer is likely yes, as long as you believe in that.
Right.
Have you seen, so you talked about preparation, right? The idea of make sure you're prepared for these scenarios. Then we talked about in the moment scenario, right? Like how can we really bring an empathetic perspective to these conversations? Be authentic, right? Make sure you have the common communication, make sure everything is prepared, like what the next steps are. Like you said, I mean, for the most part, people aren't really listening. They're looking for what's next, which I think is great. Have you seen anything on the creative side for exit packages? So, you know, typically the exit package includes severance, benefit extension, if that's available, although I'm hearing some covert challenges around that. I don't know if you've heard anything there and potentially like counseling or some sort of, you know, job search services. Anything come to your mind about, you know, have you seen anything creative around exit packages that would make it a little bit easier for the employee?
I mean, outside of the counseling and outside of the COBRA extensions, I haven't seen anything too creative out of that because those are really the vital signs. One thing that I did see that was really creative that I thought was pretty neat was a particular company created a Facebook alumni group. And, you know, at first I was like, what? But when you think through it, it's really kind of cool because people can kind of come together. They're not alone. We really care. You know, when things open up, we'll let you know. Otherwise, here are some shared tools and resources. And people are kind of feeling a sense of community within that alumni group. Just something to be proud of. And I thought that was pretty neat from a community standpoint. But other than that, the vital signs are benefits, counseling, and or career support, or the severance packages.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I think the alumni group is interesting, right? It's and I'm imagining there's probably a time period from when you get that invitation versus your termination date. It's not like the next day you're invited into this alumni group. It just seems a little impersonal to do that so quickly, but I would imagine over time you're invited into that group. I think that's a great idea, especially for the company, right? To bring in, you know, this extra arm of recruiting if people, you know, if things do get better, and they will, they always do. How do you bring those people back? The ones at least, you know, that were superstars. You want them coming back into the organization at some point.
Well, that's a thing. I think I want to highlight that this will get better. You know, this will get better. Winter always turns into spring, that turns into summer, that turns into fall. Like, it'll always happen, and it will get better. And what companies need to understand is that companies and also employees, is like the way you exit and the way you're being exited is all going to matter in the next, like, you know, 3 to 6 months, maybe even a little bit longer, whatever the case may be. You know, you may be reunited back into that organization in a different role, a better role, whatever the case is. So really think about that.
And I think you raised a great point. And it's not only for that individual, it's for the employees that you are keeping, right? The way you treat employees on the exit. And by the way, you know, we all talk about the confidentiality of compensation and all these other things. Employees talk. They talk to each other. They tell each other their compensation. Listen, we can pretend it doesn't happen. It absolutely does. So when you're getting terminated in a way that's a voicemail on your phone on a Sunday, and you can tell them a little bit, by the way, because again, from an HR perspective, just not the right way of doing it, but it's also a friend of mine, you know, like, it's like, oh, I wanted to call the HR person and say, this is just not, but instead we're manifesting it through this podcast today, which is okay. So it's probably a better outlet. But it's more for the employees that you're keeping, right? Those employees see how you're treating folks. And if it's special and it's empathetic, it's super important. Yeah.
It's their friends, or their colleagues. And also, they're going to be like, well, and I think something that has come up a couple of times is that there is also, for the employees that still have jobs, you know, to date, there is anxiety if they potentially may lose it, because this is a situation where there's no control on how this is going to happen. Like, it's, you know, you're not a bad performer. You saw people that weren't bad performers leave their jobs, and there's some anxiety on, like, you know, oh my God, am I going to lose my job? When is the shoe going to fall on the other foot? And that's what's happening, because there's a somewhat of a trickling effect of layoffs and furloughs that are happening.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so what, you know, if we want to go back to sort of the beginning of, you know, if you were to list three things that companies really need to focus on to create, you know, and whether it's companies or HR folks or those frontline managers that are doing these things, what three things, like, from to create a better, more empathetic situation or conversation? Like, what would you suggest to them to make sure that empathy, that caring piece, right, is coming across to them?
Yeah, the first thing that I would probably say is the company itself, the executive team, the leadership team, have you done and thought about everything that you possibly could do to either retain your employees or give them the best send-off and package possible? Like, have you thought of everything, right? Have you really brainstormed everything and, like, kind of trickling your resources? And that's one thing. The second thing is, and I think that's important, because then that's really showing that connection of, like, caring. Like, oh my God, have I thought of everything?
Right.
The second thing I would think of, I would talk about, is the delivery, right? It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And I think what empathy really kind of sits the foundation on is how it connects to the other person and how you do it. So, I mean, again, it's very terrible news to deliver to someone. And it's very terrible news to, you know, for people to hear that they no longer have their job during a health pandemic. But it's really how you do it from a caring place, from a place of support, no matter what the circumstances are, and making sure, and then that you can sit in front of this person when you talk to them and say, listen, I have done everything that I could possibly think of and do to make sure that you're taken care of, and this is what we have for you because we care. And that's the delivery. And then the last thing is, you know, creating that community and that follow up. And also, if you can, as an extra step, is to check in. You know, it's like you're dropping them off on the corner and that's the end of it. I mean, maybe if there are some people, good people to really think about, like, check in on them. Send them a text message. Hey, I'm thinking about you. You know, I still want to thank you for everything that you've done, and you've been such an asset to the company, and just send it out. And that really sends the right message to this person, like, wow, like, they've done everything they can, they truly respect in this conversation, and they check up on me.
I absolutely love the check-in idea. I absolutely love it. And it's something, you know, in the situation, it's so difficult. You want to get out of it as quickly as you can. You want to sort of minimize the amount of risks during these scenarios. And you're never even thinking about, all right, you know, let me go check in with them, unless you truly bring that empathetic heart to these conversations where you're like, all right, this is a human on the other side of this. And I should check in because this is a major, major blow to them. This is a major change in their lives. And if I was really a caring person, I would check in. I think most HR folks would just call it a day at that point. One, because they're not thinking of it, but two, from the risk perspective, what if I text them and they, you know, I say something wrong, which again, I think if you're authentic, you're just basically saying, hey, I'm checking in. I want to make sure you're okay. Right.
Yeah. Worst thing to say is like, don't text them anymore or whatever. I mean,
right,
but like,
right. Yeah. Like an ex-girlfriend.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Not that's ever happened to me, by the way. No. So what is there a right day to do terminations? You know, maybe we'll end it on a super simple piece of advice here, but you know, there's no day is a right day for termination, but is there a best practice around this? Like, is it Monday? Is it Friday? I've heard so many different things. Any thoughts there?
Middle of the week is usually better. You don't want to ruin someone's weekend directly, and you don't want to also call them over the weekend during not working hours, unless you work for an organization where your work week starts on a Sunday. But other than that, you really want to think middle of the week is better, because then you can, first of all, they get a couple of days of paycheck of money. So it has a monetary benefit. As opposed to Friday, if you try them on a Friday, then the Friday, that's the end of it. As opposed to like a Wednesday, they have a couple of days, which is, you know, every penny counts. And also, you know, something I didn't mention, but, you know, for companies that have trouble with hiring with benefits or benefit allocations across the business, if you fire someone within the first week of the month, that will ensure they'll have benefits for the rest of the month, as opposed to firing them towards the middle or end without any benefits for the following month.
Right.
And that's most benefits practice. So I would also make that recommendation as well.
That's a great recommendation. You're never really thinking of that in terms of the benefits, but you're absolutely right. You're already paid for it. The way benefits works, if they're in the first week, you're paying for the full month anyway, and it gives them an opportunity to have benefits for the rest of the month. That's a smart, smart suggestion. Cool. Well, I think we can get better at these things, and that's what the show's about.
Yeah.
It's about getting better. You know, we're calling BS, and listen, I mean, this one, it was a personal one. So I'm definitely calling BS on that company that called my friend on a Sunday and left a voicemail, letting them know that, hey, you're no longer employed. I thought it was a really shitty experience. Mm-hmm. And we can do better, HR people. I know you're smart folks. We could absolutely do better. Anything else? Like, I know we're talking about terminations. Any other thoughts around how HR, you know, no one really thinks about HR and what we need, right? During these times, we sort of, you know, we hold the organization on our shoulders during these kind of times.
Yeah.
Any parting words there? Any thoughts for HR folks?
Yeah, I do. I think, I mean, again, this is a really passionate subject, just like, you know, how you feel about it. And I think, you know, the one thing that HR professionals, what we need to do is, you know, we need to really, one, create some boundaries around self-care and take care of ourselves. You become almost numb after your 40th conversation or your 40th coaching conversation around that. We forget that we need to. So make sure that you are practicing, you know, self-care, you know, in the morning, maybe some meditation. Maybe I like to do this thing where I'm doing like tea ceremonies where I'm like pouring tea and like drinking it and like just having that space. Really doing that for yourself and making sure you're taking care of yourself, and also creating like support groups. Reach out to your other HR colleagues and ask them what they're doing and how, you know, and really swap best practices and ideas. And also like thank yourself. Thank yourself, love on yourself, care about yourself, because that's the most important thing. We always forget because we're the last ones, you know, out the door when it comes to things like this.
Exactly. And so anything coming up for you, any stoops, any virtual stoops you're going to be on talking about HR kind of things, anything coming up?
I do have one thing coming up. I want to just give a shout out to Think Human. I'm doing a podcast, a webinar tomorrow on emotional intelligence in the workplace during this time. I know, Anthony, this is your favorite subject. So, you know,
sure.
Tune in on my LinkedIn on that. Feel free to always reach out to me via LinkedIn. I really mean that. I've called people back and spoken to people. So if you have any questions, just hit me up directly on LinkedIn. And I'm happy to reply, but look out for that.
I love it. I love it. And I'm going to find out your address. We're going to go hang out on your stoop, but we're going to be socially distant, by the way. So
exactly.
we'll go hang out. Awesome. LaToya, always a pleasure having you on the show. Please come back boomerang again real soon, okay?
Boomerang again. Yes. Okay. Much love, Anthony, and thank you. And please promote self-care for yourself and everyone around you.
I love it. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.